This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Stories of the Prophets is the first episode of our new series on Newcastle FM. And before we start the series, it's important that we ask ourselves, why do we study the seerah or the biographies or the stories of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَادَ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اُقْتَدِي, that these are the ones who Allah has guided, so with their guidance, take as an example. Take them as an example to follow them. And in the other verse in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that certainly in their stories, there is lessons for those of understanding. So when we study the stories of the prophets, alayhi wa salam, the objective is not for us to just take some historical facts, historical information, to know what their stories did, to know what they did. But the true objective is, as Allah told us, that fi qasasihim ibra, that in their stories, there's ibra, there's examples for us to follow, for us to take from this, how we can benefit from it in our lives. And I'm going to give you some examples. And because if you look at, you know, the trials and the tribulations that the prophets and their followers faced, and then you look, for example, at the situation that we live in today with all the fitnas and the trials and tribulations, many of the things that we face, it's already been faced before by the prophets who came before and their followers. And when you start to reflect on their stories and to make their stories part of your life, it becomes how you look and how you act, how you think, how you see things, how you see the world as we know it. Huh? When you talk about the stories of the prophets, it becomes part of your life. I'm going to give you an example. If you look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, several examples from the story of Yusuf. When it comes to being put into prison, and this is something we've seen in many of the practicing Muslims, many of those who are the scholars of Islam, even in the days that we live in, who have been put into prison. But look at his answer, what he said, alayhi salam, when he was ordered to do that which was haram. He said, "Qala Rabbi as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay." He said, "My Lord, the prison is more beloved to me than that which they're inviting me to." And this way, a believer, if I'm put in a situation where I have to do something that's haram, I'm called to do that which is haram, that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I'm going to go to prison, then I say, as Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Rabbi as-sijnu ahabbu ilay," that the prison is more beloved to me than the honor that I would give up, that I would go against your deen, go against your command. Put me in prison, but I won't go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, when a beautiful woman comes to you and says, "Hey Talak, here I am for you." She closes the door. What was the answer of Yusuf? When we have this in our mind, it becomes part of our DNA and how we think and how we see things, how we look at the world, because we're following the examples of the prophets. What did Yusuf say, alayhi salam? He said, "Ma'ad Allah." He said, "I seek refuge in Allah." So this becomes right away, a beautiful woman comes, she closes the door, and she says, "Hey Talak, here I am for you, let's do it." And you say, "Ma'ad Allah," just like Yusuf said, right away. That becomes how you think and how you see things. When you take a position of power, of authority, you become someone who's a ruler, someone's in charge of something, someone who's a mudir, someone who's a manager. We take the example of Yusuf alayhi salam and how he made islah, and how he was to establish good upon earth. And this example of the islah and fighting against corruption, it was the example of all of the prophets. And that's something beautiful when you study in the stories of the prophets. You see all of them focused on calling to tawheed, calling to la ilaha illallah. But they also focused on fixing the corruption that was in their society at their time. And that's the beautiful thing about their stories, is that each one, the foundation All of it is the same. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Allah told us very clearly that we sent to every nation a prophet to call to what? أَنْ اعْبُدَ اللَّهَ, to worship Allah, وَاجْتَنِبُوا, to stay away from worshipping a طاغوت. And a طاغوت is anything that is worshipped falsely with Allah. So here, this is the foundation of all of the prophets. However, each of them had different issues that they would face in their society, and they worked hard to fix that type of corruption. So we can benefit from their stories and how they benefited in fixing that corruption, and realize that one of the main things that is upon us as du'at is to fix the corruptions and the problems that we have in society. And that's a great lesson for the du'at, because it's not just about, you know, calling people to the haqq and refuting that which is falsehood. That's one of the things, because we know the duty of the prophets all throughout the Quran. Allah says, Mundirin wa mubashirin wa mundirin, so to give glad tidings and to be warners. Yes, that's part of our job as du'at, but also to fix the issue of the society, to fix the corruption in the society, to fix the problems in the society. And even, and we're talking about just in a Muslim country, also those who live in non-Muslim countries. And that's why the beautiful things that we see, many of our du'at, we see the brothers who are with tonight, brothers in Newcastle, may Allah bless them. They perhaps were some of the pioneers in that when it came to the issue of helping the homeless, when it came to shoveling the snow for their neighbors and all those things, to be part, a positive part of society. And that was the way of the prophets. When you look at other examples, for example, the story of Musa alayhi salam, when he came, he has the junood, the soldiers of Fir'aun coming behind him with Fir'aun, and they reach to the bahar, they reach to the sea. فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى, that when the two companies saw one another, خلاص, they caught him. They caught up to him. The sea is in front of them, and the soldiers are behind them. They're looking behind, they see him, they see the sea in front of them. What are they going to do? The companions of Musa, they said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. They said, خلاص, we've been overtaken. They got us. What did Musa say, عليه السلام? He said, قَالَ كَلَّا. He said, no. إِنَّ مَعِي رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ, that indeed my Lord is with me, he is going to guide me. And this type of iman at the time of shiddah, the time of difficulty, it was the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He heard the story of Musa alayhi salam. And this is something very beneficial that perhaps we don't focus on enough. But the scholars mention that from the hikmah, the wisdom of the story of Musa being mentioned so much in the Quran, first of all, it was for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for him to benefit, to find some type of, you know, tranquility inside, and to be able to benefit as well from his story. Because they said the people of Israel, there was no one worse than them throughout history when it came to dealing with their prophets. And no one faced from their people the types of problems that Musa faced. He faced the most difficulty. So when you benefit from his story, how difficult they were, we see that in reality sometimes dealing with our people is actually not that bad. So this type of guidance, for example, in this situation, being strong at the time of need. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to Abu Bakr radiallahu an when they were in the cave? And he said, indeed, in the Allah ma'ana, that indeed Allah is with us. And what did the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and his companions, we're talking about the impact now of the stories of the prophets and being strong at the time of difficulty, of calamity, when everything seems to be against you. What happened to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions when the people gathered around Medina? When they said, when Allah said, and he told us in Surah Al-Imran, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ, that when the nas, meaning the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, when they say to them, verily the people have come, they've come against you, fakhshawhum, so fear them. But what is the way of the true believer now? Because we're making tarbiyah to ourselves to be from the followers of the Anbiya, the followers of the prophets. They right away, they said, fazadahum imana wa qalu hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. But they increased their iman at this time of difficulty, and they said, "Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel," that sufficient for us is Allah, and He's the best disposer of the affairs. And the story of Dawud and Jalut, another example of being strong at the time of difficulty. The true believers, what did the Lord say in the verse which comes before the fight of Dawood and Jalut, or David and Goliath? What did he say? He said, "Come in fiatin qalilatin ghalabat fiatan kathiratan bi idhnillah." How many fiyas, any small groups that they beat bigger groups, larger groups, bi idhnillah, by the permission of Allah, wallahu ma'a sabirin, that Allah is with the sabirin, is with those who are patient. What did Allah say in the verse which comes after? وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ, and when they went forth to face Goliath and his soldiers, first of all, what did they do? We have to take the example. We know that, and just because we're small in numbers, that doesn't mean that we're going to and not be able to be victorious. But here it says, what did they do? This is where we take the thing. Right away they said, رَبَّنَا, they started to make dua. They returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا أفرق علينا صبرا. Oh, Lord, send down upon us patience. وثبت أقدامنا, and keep our feet firm. وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين, and make us victorious upon the disbelieving people. So they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way of the true believer. What was the outcome? فهزموهم بإذن الله وقتل داود جالوت. That they beat them, they defeated them to the permission of Allah, and David killed Goliath. Daud qatala Jalut, subhanAllah. So this is how we need to, when we read the stories of the prophets, it becomes, we say, part of our DNA, how we look, how we think. When we give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we look at the story of Ibrahim, madrasatun da'wiyatun, and subhanAllah, it's a complete da'wah school. When you look at the story of Ibrahim, how he used any intellect to have the people think, to get the people to think out of the box. When he destroyed the asnam, when he destroyed the statues, and he left the big one, he put the axe on it, and he said that, and he asked the big one if it's able to speak to you. So they were ashamed. These people were ashamed. They thought, oh, so yeah, you know, they know, we know that they can't speak. So what are we gonna say? What are we gonna apply to that? So they start to think, actually, it's kind of stupid what we're doing, right? Because we're worshiping something that can't speak, can't defend himself. So subhanAllah, this is how. And once you have that the intellect, you use the same type of intellect in your da'wah. And studying the stories of the prophets is one of the most important things for those who are giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To sit down and to study each and every prophet and to see what was his methodology in giving da'wah. How did he give da'wah to his people? And so we can follow in their footsteps. Because the true success, and this is always what I tell my students and I tell, you know, the brothers and sisters, a lot of times we're looking for, you know, fancy things or fancy ways to give da'wah, not realizing that the most powerful way, the most way of barakah is the way of the prophets and the way of their followers. What did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions focus on? Right away, tawheed, giving da'wah through the Quran. So if we're going to be successful, and look at the huge success that he had in only 23 years alayhi salatu wasalam, focusing on tawheed and focusing on giving da'wah through the Quran. So this is how we need to focus our da'wah as well. One of the beautiful things of studying the stories of the prophets that we truly benefit is that it's one of the best ways to keep your heart firm upon the haqq. Allah told us in Surah Hud, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ, and each story we relate to you from the news of the messengers. You know, once again, we go back to what we said at the beginning, that the issue of the historical facts, sort of knowing the stories, that's something that's important. But Allah says here, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ, that we relate to you all the news of all of the messengers, but why? مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادِكَ, that which we make your heart firm with. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقِّ وَمَوْعِذَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and it came to you in this a instruction and reminder for the believers. So one of the key objectives of studying the stories of the prophets, Allah taught us in this verse in Surah Hud, and what Allah keeps our fu'ad, our hearts firm upon the haqq with, is when we study their stories. When we look into the stories of the prophet and their followers, it teaches us the reality of the battle between truth and between falsehood. The truth of the battle between the battle between the truth and the falsehood. And the days that we live in, we see this big time, how the people of evil all around the world have come to spread their evil and spread their corruption, and how difficult it is for a mu'min to hold on to his deen and his religion in these days. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he said it's like holding on to the jamrah. What is the jamrah? The hot coal. Imagine trying to hold on to the hot coal. You don't, if you had to, you bounce from hand to hand. But this is how a person holds on to his deen in these days that we live in. That's how difficult it is. When we look into the stories of the prophets, we see what they had to go through. And it teaches us what they had to do in order to obtain the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the things that they did to obtain that victory? And what are the things that they had to go through until they had the nasr, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says to us, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ Do you think you're just going to enter into the Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ And it hasn't come to you what came to those who were before you. What came to those who were before us? Look at the example. And as I'm saying this, as I'm saying this verse, focus on some of the difficulties that our brothers and sisters are facing around the world, our Muslim brothers and sisters. And we know a lot of them are facing a lot of, you know, serious trials and tribulations. Us, for example, in the West, we're also facing issues. We're facing difficulties, obviously not to the levels of other brothers. We still have a lot of freedom, a lot of good, but we're facing challenges as well. But look at the example that Allah gives of those who came before us. Bismillah. Allah says about those who came before us when He said, وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمْ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ That it came to them poverty and hardship. And look at the extreme example that Allah gives here. وَزُلْزِلُوا The word any zulzilu here we say and it's they were shaken. And that zelzel, what is it? It's the earthquake. So Allah mentions how they were shaken. They faced al-ba'sa wa-dharra, poverty, hardship, wazulzilu. And they were shaken. It was so bad, so difficult. Hatta yaqula ar-rasul wal-ladina amanu ma'hu. Until the messenger and those who have believed with him, they say, Mata Nasrullah. When is the Nasr, the support, the victory of Allah? When is it coming? SubhanAllah, it's gotten so difficult. Allah says, Ala inna Nasrullahi qareeb. That indeed the Nasr, the victory of Allah is qareeb, is close. These stories, and we realize, SubhanAllah, look what the people had to go through before us. Look what the prophets and their companions went through. And that increases us in our love and increases us and encourages us to follow in their footsteps. And to be patient. We know that Allah is with the sabireen. He's with those who are patient. We know that the good outcome is always for the believers and for their followers, just as we see in the stories of the Sahaba, of the prophets and their companions, radiallahu anhum. Before the creation, as it came in Sahih Bukhari, in the chapter of Bad al-Khalq, the beginning of creation, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, كان الله ولم يكن شيء غيره. First of all, there was Allah and nothing else but Allah. Then Allah created his throne, and his throne was above the water. And then he wrote everything in a book, and then he created the heavens and the earth. So we see how things went in the beginning of the creation. Before, there was nothing, it was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing before Allah. And then Allah started to create the creation. He created as well, after that, the angels, and he created them from light, and he created the jinn. The jinn, he created them from fire. And Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, he said that the jinn were 2,000 years before the creation of Adam. So the jinn were here before mankind. Then Allah told the angels that he was creating another creation. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with qala rabbuka lil malaikati inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. And he said to the angels, indeed, I will make a successive authority, a khalifa, upon the earth. Now the angels, they knew, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrated as well, he said they knew what had happened before with the jinn. The jinn, they caused corruption upon earth, they spilled blood upon earth. So right away the angels asked, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. They asked Allah, they said, will you place on earth a person, those who will cause corruption and will shed blood? And we, نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And they are constantly making tasbih and tahmeed, and praising and glorifying Allah, and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're praising Allah. They're constantly glorifying, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So then Allah told them something very important. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, I know that which you don't know. And as the scholars of tafsir mention here, Allah knows that from the human, there are going to be the salihin, from the anbiya and from their followers. And that shows you the ones who have that obedience, not the ones who are like the malaika. The malaika, who are the ones who Allah said that they don't disobey what Allah told them to do, and they do what they were ordered to do. So the angels, they don't have the free will to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here, as humans, we have the ability to either obey or to disobey. And from those humans, there's going to be those who are from the very high status with anbiya, and then those who are their followers, who devote themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the obedience of Allah, and to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created Adam from clay. It was narrated in the Sunan of Abi Dawud and at-Tirmidhi that Allah created Adam from a handful which he took from all of the earth. So the children of Adam, and this is the text of the hadith, are in accordance to the earth. Some red, some white, some black, and some a mixture. And that explains to us the difference of the colors of the children of Adam. All of these was taken from all around the world when Adam was created. And in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned every day and the things that were created every day. He said, Allah created the earth on Saturday and the mountains on Sunday and the trees on Monday. And in the translation, it says, and the things entailing labor on Tuesday. But actually what it says in Arabic, it says al-makruh. And al-makruh, it means, you know, the things that are, as the scholars mentioned, who explain the hadith, they said it's the shar, the evil. The evil things, evil creations, or creatures, all of that was created on Tuesday. And then light on Wednesday. And then he spread out the animals all kinds on Thursdays. And created Adam in the afternoon on Friday. In the last hour of Friday between the afternoon and the night. So he's created the last part of Asr before Maghrib. That's the time Adam was created, alayhi salam. When you look at the description of Adam, alayhi salam, it was narrated in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that Allah created Adam in his image, and that his length was 60 cubits. That's how tall Adam was, alayhi salam. And when he created him, he told him to go to the group, which is a group of angels who were sitting there, and to give them a greeting. And this greeting is the greeting of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And the angels replied to him, Assalamu alaikum. His greeting was then, Assalamu alaikum. And the angels replied to him, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So they increased wa rahmatullah. And at the end of the hadith, it says that the people who followed continued to diminish in their size. They became smaller in their size as the time went on. And that's the reason why now when you look at, you know, look at our size and look at the size of Adam, our father, alayhi salam, you see the difference, because each generation of people will get smaller and smaller. And if you look, for example, at what is to be the footprint of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, and in Mecca, you see it there, you'll see the size and the difference, obviously, as it started to go down and down throughout history. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Adam in several surahs. I'm going to give you the example from Surah Al-Hijr, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, with قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن صَلْصَالٍ مِّن حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ. That when Allah said, when your Lord said to the angels, I will create a bashar, a human being out of صَلْصَال مِّن حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ, out of clay from altered black mud. Then Allah said in the next verse, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِن رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So, and when I have proportioned him and breathed into him and Adam, the soul which I created for him, then fall down to him in prostrating and in prostration. Then Allah said in the next verse, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. So the angels prostrated, all of them together. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, except for Iblis. أَبَى أَن يَكُونَ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. He refused to be from those who prostrated. Allah said to him, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَلَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ. He said, why weren't you from those who prostrated? He said, قَالَ لَمْ أَكُنْ لِأَسْجُدَ لِبَشَرٍ خَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ. He said, I'm not going to prostrate to a human you created from clay, from altered black mud. And other verses in the Quran, Allah said that he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ, I'm better than him. He's created from clay, I'm created from now. So he's here, what happened to him is that the kibr, the arrogance took over. And this is a great lesson for all of us. And that's why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, لَا يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. That the one who has an atom's weight of kibr, of pride in his heart, he will not enter into the Jannah, subhanAllah. And this shows us the danger of kibr. And this is one of the first sin that Allah was disobeyed with on earth. Here is the kibr, the arrogance. And also it's going to go back again to the issue of hasid, because he had hasid, he had jealousy towards Adam alayhi salam. Here is someone who was ordered all of the angels to make sujood to him. So he became jealous. And at the same time, he was what? He was too proud and too arrogant to make sujood to him. So what did Allah say to Iblis after that? قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. He said, then get out of it, for indeed you are expelled. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَى إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And you have upon you is the curse until the day of the recompense, the يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. What did he say here, Iblis, now? Because he could come back and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah would accept from him his tawbah. He said, قَالَ رَبِّي فَانْظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He said, oh Allah, I need to give him, I need to reprive me until the day we are resurrected. قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ. He said, so indeed you are from those who are reprived. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ, until the well-known day that Allah has prescribed. So he once again, the doors of Tawbah, he could have made Tawbah. What does he say? Look at the jealousy. Look at the hasid he has, and how much of an enemy he is towards Adam and towards his children. He said, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. He said, oh my Lord, that which you have put me in error, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He said that I will surely make disobedience to them attractive on the earth, and I will mislead all of them. But is there any exception to the rule? I mean, everybody's going to miss. He's going to mislead everyone. Who's going to be safe from him? Illa ibadaka minhum al-mukhlasin. Except among them your chosen servants. Allah then said, "Qala hadha siratun alayya mustaqim." That indeed, he said, this is the path to return to me, the straight path. Whoever wants to take the straight path, he has the choice to take it. And then Allah said, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultanun. He said, you have no authority upon my servants. Illa man ittaba'aka min al-ghawin. Except for those deviators who choose to follow you. So the ones who choose to follow shaytan, they're the ones who are going to go astray. But shaytan doesn't have the ability upon us unless we become weak and we follow his footsteps and we don't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we remain on his path, which is the path to Jahannam. And subhanAllah, an amazing hadith, which we end this episode with. Actually, two hadith, inshallah ta'ala. One of them was narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, when He mentioned that he was going to keep enticing the people, Shaytan, and Allah said, "Wa izzati wa jalali," by my honor and my glory. He said that I will continue to forgive them as long as they continue to ask for my forgiveness. So as long as we're repenting to Allah, Allah will continue to forgive us, alhamdulillah. And then Sahih Muslim, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that whoever reads, and whenever we read a surah that has sajda in it, and we make sajda, reading from the Quran, we read a surah that has sajda and we make sajda, he said that shaytan, he secludes himself and he begins to weep, he begins to cry, and he says, "Woe to me." He said, "The son of Adam was commanded to prostrate and he did it, and he will have Jannah. And I was commanded to prostrate and I refused, and now I'll be doomed into hell." What happened after that? When with the story of Adam alayhi salam and what comes after that, inshallah ta'ala, we'll finish it in the next episode, next Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. Until then, Allah knows best. Allahu alam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad wa jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh.